Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
If you don't know myself, I'm the student pastor here at ES First. My wife and I, we've got four lovely kids. We have four under four, which is challenging, but we just had a new baby a couple weeks ago, because that's how they come, is new. The other day I told somebody I had just had a kid, you know, and they were like, "Man, you look good," and it's like, "Well, I didn't have the baby. My wife had the baby." And though he's like, "No, you look like you've been sleeping okay," you know, and so I was like, "Yeah, I sleep okay. You know, a couple times a night I have to wake up and smack my wife, tell her the baby's up." But I actually do get up with the baby. I get up and take her to her room and hold her and kiss her, and I get to tell her, you know, how awesome of a cook her mom is, and how beautiful she is, and how awesome of a wife she is, and mainly just because the baby monitor's on. But otherwise, I'd probably have a lot more to say to her. But yeah, we're happy. We're healthy. We got four beautiful kids. Some people ask me, you know, what it's like having four kids under four. And my response is this: just imagine you're in a pool and you're drowning, right? And then someone throws you a baby. That's about what having four under four is like. But it's been fun. It's been good. Today we're going to talk about competition. And competition's a good thing, don't you think? I'm very competitive. Like, when it comes down to it, like, I can make a competition about out of anything, right? If I had the money right now, like, we would just take turns trying to throw this microphone in this fishbowl and see who could win, and I would like stay here until I won, right? So it's like I can make a competition about anything. And sometimes I try to figure things out, right? And I wonder, why am I so competitive and some people aren't, right? But then I think about, they're competitive in different ways for different things, right? I think everybody has a little bit of a competitive side on them, don't they? You guys, would you say you got competition in your life? I think that when I look at it, I think that God created competition in our hearts, in our lives, so that we can summit that inner competition. Because ever since the beginning of mankind, there has been a spiritual battle, right? So we know about Jesus versus the devil, right? We've seen cartoons, we've seen shows. You've got Jesus on one side, the devil on the other, trying to tell you things. Well, I believe that there's a cosmic competition going on in your and I's life, that God has put competition in our heart so that we can compete against the devil, right? And so Jesus, today's message is fish like Jesus. Jesus, or God, has fished for you and I and the souls of lost people, right? And so in this cosmic competition, we have Jesus that's trying to hook people to heaven, and we have the devil trying to hook people to hell, right? It's a pretty easy, simple concept, but I think a lot of us go through our day-to-day life and we don't consider those things. So today's passage I'm going to read, Matthew 4:19 says this: "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Another translation says, "I will make you fishers of men," or fishers of women, however you want to say. I want to be politically correct here. Fishers of men, or fishers of women. And life, technically then, in our spiritual realm, is a big fishing competition. I've been in fishing my whole life. I've fished internationally. I fished locally. I love fishing. That was actually the biggest bass I'd ever caught It was like 7.5 pounds. It was like from here to the bottom of my hand. I was pretty excited about that one. I was so excited about threw my wife out of the boat. That's how excited I was. I was like, you know, in competition, there's always, you know, that Vegas, like there's a chance, you know. I took that chance. My wife can swim. I'm going for the fish, right? And so anyways, if we look back at Jesus' life, right, he started his full-on ministry when he was about 30 years old, okay? And then he ended his ministry, obviously, when he went back to heaven, when he was 33. So for those 36 months, Jesus had a few things that he talked about, but mainly his idea and his concept of this competition in life was for fishing for people, for fishing for souls, because we all were once souls just wandering around, and Jesus found us, right? So at the beginning, Matthew says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Like, if you had a sales pitch to people for you to follow them, like, you would probably have a long list, but of things that you would say to somebody. What he did was he walked around, and he was like, follow me. Well, why? And Jesus' answer was, I'll make you fishers of men, whether you like to fish or not, right? And so, and then you look at when he's 33, the final thing he says before he goes to heaven is in, I believe, Mark 15, and verse 16. He says, 16, verse 15, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So he is telling you to go fish for men and for women. So the beginning of his ministry, fish. The end of his ministry, before he goes, he says, go fish. I taught you, go fish. Fish. So anyways, for those of you that are here today and have accepted Christ into your lives, somebody fished for you, right? I just want you to take a second in your mind, think of that person. Maybe it's a parent or a teacher. Maybe it's a youth leader or a Sunday school teacher. Somebody fished for you, right? And then you got hooked. And if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know about Jesus' grace, here at ES First, we leverage all of our time and money and pastors and everything so that we can fish for souls that are not hooked to Jesus, right? Our main concept here at ES First is to take people that are out wandering around aimlessly, not knowing what their life is about, and we're fishing, right? And we're fishing. If you hang out with myself or Brandon, Chris, Pastor Larry, a lot of us, we will embarrass you when we go out. Because sometimes we'll just be, I've been with my brother before, Pastor Brandon, and we'll go through Price Chopper or something. And he'll go through the line and pay. And he'll be like, is there anything I can pray with you about? I'm like, this kid's like 18 years old. He does, you know, like, you don't know anything about him. And then the kid will just start, you know, laying everything out. Yeah, I need you to pray for this, pray for that, and pray for this. And growing up, my dad was always that same way. And so I've started to embarrass people around me now when I go out, because I figured out that life is one big fishing competition. And at the end, I want to be able to say I took as many people as I personally could have with me, right? It's important. If God created us to fish and he told us in his main messages were to fish, then I want to do that same thing. So fish. I have an acronym for fishing. It's F, focus in our sea of humanity. Okay, so we need to focus in our sea of humanity. God has called us to the ends of the earth. The cool thing is there's enough people around the end of the earth that you don't have to go live in a hut in Africa to minister to people and to fish for people, fish for souls. You guys see people on a regular basis that I would never see. I see people on a regular basis that you would never see. And that's why when we get hooked by Jesus, he brings us on and he tells us then to go fish for more. Because there's somebody around you that needs to be hooked to heaven. Don't you think? It's going to be an exciting thing when we get to heaven and we get to see all the people that we fished for, and then they made it there with us. That's going to be an exciting day. Exciting day. So, I think one of the reasons why people don't have this in their mind all the time is because talking to people about Jesus can sometimes be intimidating. You ever been like summoned by the Holy Spirit? Like, hey, that person needs you to talk to them, right? You ever driven by somebody that needs your help or talk to somebody that was telling you their problems or issues and you're like, you know, I need to tell them. I know I have it in me, but you're just too scared to tell them. You ever been there? Been there before? Yeah, I've been there before. I'm not a pro at it yet, but I'm working. I'd like to be a fishing pro if I could. But what ends up happening in our mind and in our soul and our spirit is that we compete with ourselves. The devil will tell you lies about your situation, right? You come around somebody and you'll be like, okay, so I feel like I need to talk to them. And then one of the most common lies the devil will tell you is, you don't have time to talk to that person. You ever been there? Been there. I don't have time to stop and pick up that person. I don't have time to tell them my testimony. I don't have time to take them out to lunch or dinner, right? That's one of the big lies. Another lie is, and I'm sure that you felt this way because I felt this way before too, they know my past. You ever been there before? I need to tell them about Jesus, but they saw me 6 years ago mess up and they know my past. And if I were to tell them, then they would not listen to me. You ever been there before? They know my past. Or if they knew my past, they'd never listen to me, right? Those are some of the lies that the devil will try to tell you. So to smush those feelings or to push those aside, I have a story in 2 Kings that we're going to read about King Joash. And before we go there, there's this king. He was King Joash, and it's a cool name, right? We should have thought of that before we named our kid. No? All right. So there's this king named King Joash, and he's going through some trouble. Right? He's going through some trying times. And have you ever been through some trouble? He's going through some trouble. And if you read back in 2 Kings 12 and 13, you'll read about Joash inheriting the prior king's sins. Okay? So for years and generations, he's the king of Israel, God's holy nation, right? King of Israel. And these kings are just jacking it up, living in sin, messing up. And then finally, Joash takes over. And he's nervous because what's happening is there's a city, Syria, but the Bible talks about it being Aram. And Aram beat Israel like 16 years prior. And so they spanked them, sent them home with a lot less chariots and horsemen. And Joash knows this 16 years later, then Aram comes back at him, right? It's intimidating. He's scared. What am I going to do? They already beat us once, and we have less people now, and we haven't changed our ways. They were still living in sin, still living in trouble, still living in turmoil. And so they go to Elisha. Elisha is a prophet of the day. He was like the voice of the Lord at that time. And he was about to pass away. He was about to die. But Joash wanted kind of one last Hail Mary to go see if the prophet of the Lord could say something good to him about his situation. So, and then that sets us up. 2 Kings 13, 14 through 17. Now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Basically, what he's saying is, we suck. The chariots and horsemen of Israel are very small, right? We have nothing. We have nobody. Everybody's defeated, and Aram's coming after us. Elisha said, go get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said. He said to the king of Israel, when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Excuse me. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. So, he goes, to Elisha, and he's terrified because he's getting ready to get his butt kicked, right? He's scared, literally, you know, to the end of his life. And he goes to Elisha, and Elisha tells him some weird thing, go shoot an arrow out of the east window, okay? You ever prayed to God, and then God tried to tell you something completely opposite that you thought should have happened, you know? It's really weird for him to go to Elisha, and he's like, okay, just go open the east window and shoot an arrow out of there. You ever thought that would be successful in your life? You ever thinking, okay, I need to fish for people, and how am I going to do this? To prepare, I'm just going to shoot an arrow out my window over the neighbor's house, and hopefully then they'll accept Christ, right? No, that's just completely backwards. But Jehoash is scared to death, right? Scared out of his mind. And Elisha tells him to go get a bow and some arrows. So I brought a bow. And so in your life, God is going to tell you, go get a bow, go get some arrows, and open the east window. So here's my arrows. I'm not going to shoot all of them, don't worry. And he says, go to the east window. And I can imagine that in this story, Jehoash, King Jehoash, goes over here, and he's looking over the city of Aram, and he's just staring out the window, and I'm sure that he's just terrified. He's so scared that he had traveled through the night to get to Elisha, and he's standing there. Elisha tells him to go open the east window, and he's staring at the thing that beat him years ago. He's just staring at it right in his face. And I'm sure he's terrified. And so what I've done is written some things that I'm scared of on this balloon, right? We've got fear of failure, fear of falling short, fear of living a regretful life, fear of not being able to provide for my family, people laughing at you when you're not joking. And so I think if we were to really confront what's going on in our lives when God tells us to be fishers of men and fishers of women, we're supposed to step up to that window and face the fears of what we're going through, right? And I'm sure you guys have completely different things on your list. Actually, one of my fears is this bow and arrow right now. A few of you guys know the story. So yesterday, I got this new release for my bow, and so I came up to practice it, and you can't tell, but I went back to pull it back. I've shot this thing like 1,000 times, and went to pull it back, and the release broke, and I punched myself right in the mouth. I have a fat lip right now, so don't tell anybody about that, because I've been telling everybody that my wife punched me, which is a lot cooler than me thumping myself with this stupid bow and arrow. But 2 Kings says to go open the east window and grab your bow and your arrows and don't punch yourself in the face, right, in front of everybody. Because the sermon would end at that point, right? It was like Chris would have to just come up and read out of my notes. But I'm sure that as Joash, King Jehoash, was getting ready to shoot, I'm sure he had a moment in his life where he had to face what was about to happen. Because I think in all of your life and in my life, God gives us the tools to do what we need to do, right? So Jehoash is sitting in a room with a dying prophet. And the dying prophet is the voice of the Lord. And he says, go open up the window and grab your bow and arrow. Face your fears and shoot. And that seems really easy. But he knows that if he shoots, then he has to conquer Aram. He can't run. He can't make a liar out of the Lord, right? It's like, now I have to live up to what's getting ready to happen. I came to you for help, Lord, and he asks you to do something, and then you have to step up to the plate, right? And it's a little intimidating sometimes because you know that if you're going to face these fears, if you're going to face the trouble that's coming up, you have to let it fly and then put it in God's hands, right? And so I'm sure that Jehoash pulls his bow back and just gets a little scared, right? And he pulls it back. He's probably standing maybe a little closer to the window, but I didn't want to blow anything up. So he pulls back the bow to release, and he's looking at Aram face to face, and he says, "I have the chance to stop, or I have the chance to do what God asks me to do." And he shoots. And the Bible says he shoots the arrow of victory over Aram. All he had to do to compete against Aram was to trust in the Lord and then just let it fly. You think that arrow did anything? Can you imagine just being some like commoner back in the day and you're just hanging out and all of a sudden like an arrow lands in your front yard or something? Like, what the heck is going on here? You know, like, I'm sure that person wasn't like, "I'm about to be conquered. I'm about to lose. There's an arrow in my front yard," you know. But there's opportunities in your life that God gives you, but you have to seize those opportunities. Leonard Ravenhill says this. He says, "The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity." Because there are a lot of times when there's a soul just aimlessly swimming around. And there's an opportunity for you to fish, for you to cast, but you miss it, right? We've all been there. We miss it. But we have to understand that there's that opportunity probably won't happen again. So the Bible says in Romans 1:16, it says this. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first Jew and then Gentile." So it's the power of God for salvation. It has nothing to do with you or I, right? And so if we're going to fish, then we have to understand that the victory's already been won, right? And so there's four characteristics of fishermen that I want to give you, and then we'll get out of here. First off, if you're going to be a fisherman of men, or fisherwoman of men or women, you have to be real passionate, okay? In Luke, it says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's what he came for. He didn't come so that you could live a nice life and say, "God blesses me," right? He came because if you understand this cosmic battle of souls that the devil's trying to win and God's trying to win, eternity is going to be a big deal. It's going to be a big deal. And so real fishermen are real passionate, real passionate. I am passionate about fishing. If you say you want to go fishing, I'm ready to go, right? I'm throwing my wife out the boat to catch the big fish, okay? I'm that passionate, okay? The second characteristic is you have to be real prepared, real prepared. When you're fishing for souls for Jesus, the easiest way to fish is to tell them your testimony. We had testimony night the other night with our students on Wednesday night during Wednesday Night Live. And you would be surprised some of the testimonies that these kids told. They all had a different story. And all of them thought that their story didn't mean anything. And then when they told the story, everybody was like, "That's the best story I've ever heard. Like, come give me a hug." You know, it was like this really big thing. And if you think that your story doesn't mean anything, then you're crazy. Because if you're going to be prepared, you have to know, okay, my story is ready. I've got my tackle box. I have a go box. I have this little tackle box at home and one pole sitting there. I'm ready to go fishing at any given time. And I would challenge you, if you're going to fish, to prepare your testimony. It'd take you probably 3 minutes to write down your story. So I was, you know, this is just whatever, but I was a soul aimlessly wandering around. Somebody fished for me, my mom, dad, teacher, whatever, and then I got hooked, right? Jesus caught me. Now I'm going to heaven and my life's been changed ever since. Testimony over, right? Just be prepared to share your testimony because, you know, that's the best way to go fishing. So be prepared. The third one is be persistent. Be persistent. If you've ever gone fishing before, I've been in this situation before. You throw your lure out right up next to the bank, and you give it a couple little tugs, that was a bite. That was something. Then you start reeling real fast because you're like, I got to throw right back on top of them, right? And you throw, oh, yeah, it's a perfect cast. And then, boom, they hit on the second one. You're like, I knew that fish was there, right? And so some of you are going to think, okay, I shot this arrow victory, and I shot, you know, I threw my Jesus line out, and they didn't bite it, right? You just have to stay persistent, right? Just keep fishing. Throw it out there. Keep fishing because like Romans says, Romans 1:16, it's not up to you, right? It's not up to you. God has already won the battle. And then lastly, the fourth thing is real partnership. Okay, this is where some people fall off the boat, pun intended. They don't partner with the local church. Okay, so one of the things about fishing that's kind of cool, you have all these little groups, right? You have people that might go fishing together. You have people that garden together or go work out together or go out and go bowling together. There are things that you do, and if you can take your friend and say, you know what, I casted for them last week, they didn't bite, but I'm going to invite them to my house. I'm going to invite them around my Christian friends. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to take them to my people, right? And ES First leverages everything they've got to win souls for Christ. Sometimes we take it on the chin because we do, but we are after the souls that are not going to make it to heaven. That's our main thing. And we have to have you partner with us to be able to win these souls, right? You ever had a friend that's like, you know, I don't know if I'd like church, but oh, there's this little old lady that you would just love at our church. You ever said that before? Oh, you would just love my pastor, or you would just love the music, right? There's this partnership that with fishing, you're not alone, okay? And so this is like our fishbowl here. And I would say, like, I just want to use this as an example. These are the people in the church, right? This is you, this is me. You know, I'll let you decide which one's me. But we're just in this glass bowl, right? And we're just swimming around, we're happy, you know? What ends up happening with Christians a lot of times is they get saved, they start going to church, and they get comfortable, right? Everybody's kind of been through that phase, right? You just get comfortable, right? You stop fishing. You stop telling your testimony. Church stops getting exciting, right? But that is not because of God. That's because of us, right? And so I think what ends up happening is we just get in this like little fishbowl and we just get like surrounded and we're just like happy in here. We turn our back to the masses, right? That's not a pretty picture, is it? You know, you don't want to turn your back to the masses. What ends up happening is we're just these fish wandering around and we stop caring about souls, and some of us start to lose our passion for being like-minded. There we go. So we have this fish that ends up being outside of community. And outside of this world that God has created, people are just out wandering around. And outside of where we're supposed to be can be deadly. And God has called us from the beginning to the end to fish, right? I suppose I should save this fish. I see you guys staring at the fish. The fish will be okay. Let me tell you something. The sad thing is, and I've been here before. Some of you were more concerned about this fish, this 25-cent fish, dying outside of water than you are your family members going to hell, your coworkers dying and not making it, your friends that are just living the way that they want to live, and you're just like it didn't, like you can't see. Like I'm just not even paying attention. But it matters, right? It matters to you. It matters to me. And if we were to be a church that stood up and said, I'm going to be about God's kingdom, I'm going to fish, right? I'm going to focus in my sea of humanity. I'm going to fish because Jesus called us to fish. Romans 1:16 says, it's the power of God that brings salvation unto everyone. We get to fish from victory, not for victory. All we have to do is just cast. You know, the awesome thing about Jesus asking us to fish is that he doesn't ask us to catch. He says, just fish. I'll do the catching. Just fish. Just keep throwing it out there. I'll catch. I'll catch because the power of God unto salvation is for everyone. All we have to do is cast. Let's be a church that will cast. Would you say I'm going to be a fisher of men and I'm going to be a fisher of women. I'm going to fish because I'm more concerned about souls than I am 25-cent fish. I'm more concerned about their eternity than I am that 15 minutes outside of water. Just bow your heads and close your eyes for a second. If you are one of those souls that are, if you're here and you're one of those souls that are just out there aimlessly wandering around, you'd ask after the sermon, you really care about me enough to talk so much about fishing? God cares about you that much. He would leverage all of our time and all of our money and all of our things for just one soul to make it. If you're here today and you're not caught by Jesus Christ, you want to be a part of God's family, just raise your hand. You'd say, you know, I want to be caught by Jesus. There's a couple hands up. Second, I'm going to ask that if you want to be a true fisher of men and fisher of women, I'm going to shoot that arrow of victory over my life that nothing can stop me. It's not up to me to catch. It's up to Jesus to catch. I'm just going to be a fisherman for souls. Would you just raise your hand? My hand's right up. We're going to pray. Obviously, all those people that say that you are going to be a fisherman, you've been accepted into the kingdom. Let's just pray with those people that raised their hand first to take these souls to heaven with us. Dear God, we thank you for fishing for us. Forgive my sins. Let me make it to heaven. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, so my challenge to you guys is to take this message and to live it out, okay? We know that Jehoash was in probably a way worse state than we could ever be in. He was scared for his life, but he went to God. God told him what to do, and he did it. You're coming into a new generation. You're coming into a new season, and it's time to step up our game. If you've been casting, continue casting. Be persistent. If you haven't been casting, get passionate about casting. Read books, watch movies, listen to podcasts, get online, read your Bible. It's important for us to be passionate about Jesus' kingdom.